Good afternoon. With the Catholics across the street, you never really know if the bells are done or not. So I'm assuming the bells are done, we'll begin our service with a few announcements. All right, I'll turn this down. Clark? Maybe I'll back up. That's better. First, I had two announcements, and as they're wont to do, Gary and Mike added two to me. So I'm trying to remember them all. I didn't write them down. I told them I could do this by myself. First, we're excited and privileged to welcome our bishop from the diocese. He's visiting our bishop in residence, Bishop Fitz, for his 98th birthday. So, Bishop, thank you for being here. Second, just a gentle reminder to get your letters of intent in to the office by Friday, please. A reminder from this past Sunday. Third, we have our sign-up for our Monday-Thursday prayer vigil in the back. So sign up quick before all the good slots are taken, right? This is our prayer vigil from the end of Monday Thursday service up until the noon Good Friday service. It's always a glorious hour with Jesus if you let it be. And so please sign up for that. And then finally, see, there it is. There's the last one. What is the last one? Ah, there it is. Our Wednesday night soup and supper teaching series begins next Wednesday at 5:30 p.m., details in the bulletin and on the e-news. We're doing a series on the Nicene Creed. This is the year 2025. The Nicene Creed was penned, at least its original form, in 325, meaning that this is the 1700th year anniversary of the Nicene Creed. The church has been professing the same faith for 1700 years, well, longer than that, 2000 plus, but it's been codified in the language of the Nicene Creed for 1700 years, and we use it still to this day. And that's an amazing thing. So we're going to teach through the creed. We have a great lineup of teachers, speakers. We're going to have some great soup and sandwiches. We're going to end with Compline. It's going to be great. So please make sure to look out for that and join us. This service begins with its own liturgy on page 543. We'll stay seated for a moment. We'll begin in a silent procession. Page 543 in the Red Book of Common Prayer. Please stand. Bless the Lord, who forgives all our sins.
His mercy endures forever.
Dear people of God, the first Christians observed with great devotion the days of our Lord's passion and resurrection, and it became the custom of the church to prepare for them by a season of penitence and fasting. This season of Lent provided a time in which converts to the faith were prepared for holy baptism. It was also a time when those who, because of notorious sins, had been separated from the body of the faithful, were reconciled by penitence and forgiveness, and restored to the fellowship of the church. In this manner, the whole congregation was put in mind of the message of pardon and absolution set forth in the gospel of our Savior, and of the need that all Christians continually have to renew our repentance and faith. I invite you, therefore, in the name of the Church, to the observance of a Holy Lent, by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word. And to make a right beginning, let us now pray for grace, that we may faithfully keep this Lent. Please kneel as you are able. Almighty and everlasting God, you hate nothing you have made, and you forgive the sins of all who are penitent. Create and make in us new and contrite hearts, that we, worthily lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, may obtain of you, the God of all mercy, perfect remission and forgiveness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's word.
Turn to page 761 for our first reading from the book of Joel, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, found on page 761 in your pew Bibles. Blow a trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Like blackness, there is spread upon the mountains a great and powerful people. There, like has never been before, nor will be again after them through the years of all generations. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And he relents over disaster. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God? Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people. Consecrate the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep and say, spare your people, O Lord, and make not your heritage a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? The word of the Lord. Turn to page 402 in the Book of Common Prayer to Psalm 103, beginning with verse 8, found on page 402. We will read responsively by half verse. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy.
Long-suffering and of great goodness.
He will not always chide us.
Neither will he keep his anger forever.
He has not dealt with us according to our sins.
Nor rewarded us according to our wickedness.
For as the heavens are high above the earth,
so great is his mercy also toward those who fear him.
As far as the east is from the west, as a father pities his own children,
so is the Lord merciful to those who fear him.
For he knows whereof we are made.
He remembers that we are but dust.
Turn to page 966 in your pew Bible for our third reading from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, beginning with verse 20. Found on page 966. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. but as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by impurity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything. The word of the Lord.
Let's stand now for the reading of the Holy Gospel. This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Lord Christ.
Pray with me, please. Holy Spirit, breath of God and fire of love, we cannot pray, we cannot preach, we cannot receive preaching without your aid. So kindle in us now the fire of your love and illumine us with your light, that with steadfast wills and holy thoughts, we may approach and worship the Father in spirit and in truth, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with you and the Father reign in eternal union. Amen. You may be seated. I think the weather and the sound issues are going to play nicely with the sermon I have prepared, so we'll see where it goes. But at about 8:20 this morning, I was excited to, for probably the first time doing morning prayer, put on full choir dress. So I'll admit, I've gotten out of the habit of morning and evening prayer, which is a shame to me. I love doing it, but it's one of those things that I'm a wandering soul. What can I say? I'm prone to wander. But I love morning and evening prayer, and no better day than Ash Wednesday to try to get back on the horse, right? And so I put my cassock on, this black garment, with a surplice, the white robe, and then a tippet, not a stole, it's a black one. And I was remembering back to the days of when I was preparing to be ordained, and I got my first cassock before I was ordained. And Gary made fun of me all the time he would say that, "Ryan, when he gets that thing, he's going to wear it everywhere. He's going to wear it every day." And I remember being excited to do that, and I thought I would. And then about 10:40 this morning, I remembered why I do not. I was in my second communion service at one of the nursing homes, and I was just sweating already. I was so uncomfortable. And it's only 70 degrees outside. I'm a creature, as we all are, that loves its comforts. I love comfort. And I would wear my cassock every day if I was instructed to by my bishop, or maybe my dean, probably not my rector. I would. And I maybe it would be a good thing, maybe be, but I don't want to, mostly because it's just too uncomfortable. I sweat too much, it's too hot, and this is even a bad time to do it. And Lent is in part for discomfort. We're supposed to, at some level, afflict ourselves, make ourselves uncomfortable during Lent. That's part of the practice of fasting and almsgiving, and even for some of us, reading and meditating on God's holy word, getting into regular patterns that we fall out of and again, it's to make us uncomfortable. And especially as very affluent Americans, we need, I think, the discomfort of Lent to reorient ourselves. That's the point of Lent, to orient ourselves towards the gospel, towards Jesus, towards the cross, towards Holy Week, and eventually Easter. But as we begin this Lenten journey together, I want us to take a step back and think about the purposes of those practices. All that discomfort is not going to do us any good if we don't get to the heart of the matter. What's the heart of the matter? What's the heart of Lent? Well, it's the heart. It's that thing inside of us, the deepest core of the human being that is broken, that needs fixing, that needs renovation. See, all the good Lenten practices in the world will do you no good if they don't deal with, fundamentally, your heart. We're about to pray together in a kind of lament form that great psalm, one of my favorites, Psalm 51. And the context, you'll see in some Bibles, a superscription before the psalm starts as to the context of this psalm. And it's in the context of David writing after he has been caught in his sin by the prophet. And what sin is that? Well, it's the biggest black mark on his record. He's described in the Old Testament as a man after God's own heart, and yet he kills a man to take his wife. One of the most egregious injustices recorded in the pages of Scripture, from no less than the king of Israel, the man after God's own heart, and Psalm 51 flows out of his repentance when God catches him. And Psalm 51, it's in there, but if you don't realize it, you might pass it by. There's a diagnosis of why he did that. Why did David do that? You ever had that moment for yourself at some sin that you fall into or step into or go back into intentionally, and you just come out of the other side thinking, why? Why'd I do that again? Why did I mess up in that way again, or for the first time, or why? Well, I'll tell you an uncomfortable truth, but it is the reason. We sin because we want to. That's why I think the diagnosis that David has in Psalm 51, the fundamental thing that needs to change about him is his heart. That's why he prays, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me." We sin, whether we know it or not, because we want to. Our desires, our loves, they're broken. And they need to be transformed. They need to be transfigured. They need to be fixed. And the practices of Lent can do that if we allow them to surface the heart. If we go into them not doing them for their own sake, or because we should, or because it's expected of us religiously, but because we want, like David, a new heart and a new spirit. By providence, the chapter we're reading in Dallas Willard's book, Renovation of the Heart, for this week in Inklings, for actually just this morning, is transforming the will or the heart or the spirit. So, very briefly, how do we do that? How does a transformed, a renewed heart happen to us? Well, first we have to start, and then we have to continue. Here's what I mean by a start. It starts in the reception of the gospel by faith. That's what Paul is insistent on here in 2 Corinthians. Now's the day of salvation. If you don't start, you won't get anywhere on the journey. If we don't start, if we don't begin with the glorious news of Jesus Christ, died for our sins, resurrected from the dead, putting our sins as far away from the east as from the west, taking our sins and throwing them into the boundless ocean of God's mercy, we will never begin a good Lent. If we don't believe in Jesus, we haven't received the good news of his salvation, do all the Lenten practices you want, they will do you no good. We start with the reception of the gospel in the human heart. Our hearts are restless until they rest in Jesus. Come to me, Jesus says, and I will give you rest. We have to start there, or else Lent will do us no good. But then it's true, we have to continue. As the prayer book just said, we need to continually renew our repentance and faith. And that is indeed, at least for the believer, the point of Lent, a renewal, a walking into a journey. So here's what we're after. Here's the goal we're going towards, says Dallas Willard. What does the will or the heart that's been transformed into Christ's likeness look like? How is it characterized? And here's his answer. Single-minded and joyous devotion to God and his will, to what God wants for us, and service to him and to others because of him is what the will transformed into Christ's likeness looks like. That's a lot. That's a huge task. That's a big ask, you might say. But that's why we have to start with the gospel. Because Jesus comes to earth and he lives the life that we should. He's the one that prays and truly means it. Lord, I delight to do your will. And he does the Father's will for us all throughout his life and makes perfect, complete, utter satisfaction for our sins. But once that gospel is received in the human heart, once the Holy Spirit, in the words of Romans 5, has been poured out into the depths of our heart, the renovation then begins. It's that great image from C.S. Lewis. When we invite Jesus into the home of our hearts, we think he's going to come in, sweep out a few cobwebs, dust it off, and put a nice bow on it. But no, he's interested in a complete, an utter, an entire renovation, a remodel. And Lewis says, and he's right, that means kicking out a wall or two or five. It means some pain. It means some effort. It means some giving up, some sacrifice, some Lenten practices and disciplines. But by the power of the Spirit and by the Word of God, it can and will be done. And I'm reformed enough to say that once you believe in Jesus, it's happening whether you like it or not. But we have to start with Jesus and then we have to begin. And here's what Willard says is our continual journey. It's what God uses to continue the renovation in the human heart. And it's nothing less than, nothing other than, the Word and the Spirit. The spiritual disciplines that we engage, fasting, almsgiving, reading and meditating, going to church, whatever we've taken on for Lent, whatever we've given up for Lent, those, they're for the purpose, says Willard, of this, to cause duplicity and malice that is buried in our will and character to surface and be dealt with. These disciplines, even Lenten disciplines, make room for the Word and the Spirit to work in us as they permit destructive feelings. Feelings that were usually veiled by standard practices and circumstances and long accepted rationalizations to be perceived and dealt with for what they are, our will and not God's will. These practices, if we allow them to, if we engage them in, I believe, the right way, they allow us to surface the human heart. And by the Word and by the Spirit, to deal with what's really there. And so, and only thus, I think, to be transformed. Pray with me, please. Father, we do want a new heart. To follow Jesus, to receive his gospel either for the first time or yet again. And we want, in the words of the prayer book, we want a holy Lent that really, truly, genuinely engages us and draws us deeper into fellowship with you through Word and Spirit. If we haven't started, help us to start, and start in the only way possible, by believing in Jesus. And wherever we are in the journey, help us to continue by word and spirit, by grace, for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Continuing on in page 545 in the prayer book, page 545. Let us now call to mind our sin and the infinite mercy of God. Almighty God, you've created us from the dust of the earth. Grant that these ashes may be used for us a symbol of our mortality and a sign of our penitence, and that we may remember that it is by your grace alone that we receive the gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Ryan and I will impose ashes on each other, and then we'll invite everybody to come forward and kneel at the communion rail to receive ashes. We'll start with the back of the church first. Please come forward. Service continues on page 546, either seated or kneeling. Let's say together Psalm 51, page 546. Have mercy upon me. Page 547, let us humbly confess our sins to Almighty God. Most holy and merciful Father,
please turn to page 548 in the Book of Common Prayer for the prayers of the people. For all our unfaithfulness and disobedience, for the pride, vanity, and hypocrisy of our lives, Lord, have mercy upon us.
For we have sinned against you.
For our self-pity and impatience, and our envy of those we think more fortunate than ourselves, Lord, have mercy upon us. For our unrighteous anger, bitterness, and resentment, for all lies, gossip, and slander against our neighbors, Lord, have mercy upon us. For our sexual impurity, our exploitation of other people, and our failure to give of ourselves in love, Lord, have mercy upon us. For our self-indulgent appetites and ways, and our intemperate pursuit of worldly goods and comforts, Lord, have mercy upon us. For our dishonesty in daily life and work, our ingratitude for your gifts, and our failure to heed your call, Lord, have mercy upon us. For our blindness to human need and suffering, and our indifference to injustice and cruelty, Lord, have mercy upon us. For our wastefulness and misuse of your creation and our lack of concern for those who come after us, Lord, have mercy upon us. For all false judgments, for prejudice and contempt of others, and for all uncharitable thoughts toward our neighbors, Lord, have mercy upon us. For our negligence in prayer and worship, for our presumption and abuse of your means of grace, Lord, have mercy upon us. For seeking the praise of others rather than the approval of God, Lord, have mercy upon us. For our failure to commend the faith that is in us, Lord, have mercy upon us. Show favor to your people, O Lord.
Invite the bishop to come up and give the absolution. Kelly, will you make sure the microphone's on?
Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, desires not the death of sinners, but that they may turn from their wickedness and live. He has empowered and commanded his ministers to pronounce to his people being penitent the absolution and remission of their sins. He pardons and absolves all who truly repent and genuinely believe in his holy gospel. For this reason, we beseech him to grant us true repentance and his Holy Spirit, that our present deeds may please him, the rest of our lives may be pure and holy, and that at the last we may come to his eternal joy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the word of God to all who truly turn to him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
Please stand. Bishop, would you mind offering the peace too?
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Just a reminder that at this service, after you receive communion, if you would like healing prayer, we have two prayer ministers in the back at the font, this corner of the church. After you receive communion, just go back there if you would like something to be prayed for. An offertory sentence from our gospel this afternoon. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Our liturgy continues on page 132 in the Red Book of Common Prayer. Please stand. The Lord be with you.
With your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right, our duty and our joy, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You bid your faithful people cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that fervent in prayer and in works of mercy, and renewed by your word and sacraments, they may come to the fullness of grace which you have prepared for those who love you. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever say this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy, 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 Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You may stand, kneel, or be seated for the prayer of consecration. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love you made us for yourself, and when we had sinned against you and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, into the world for our salvation. By the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, he became flesh and dwelt among us. In obedience to your will, he stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself once for all, that by his suffering and death we might be saved. By his resurrection, he broke the bonds of death, trampling hell and Satan under his feet. As our great high priest, he ascended to your right hand in glory, that we might come with confidence before the throne of grace. On the night that he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, Jesus took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, and we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your word and Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Sanctify us also, that we may worthily receive this holy sacrament and be made one body with him, that he may dwell in us and we in him. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ and bring us with all your saints into the joy of your heavenly kingdom, where we shall see our Lord face to face. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for us once for all upon the cross.
Therefore, let us keep the feast.
We do not presume to come to this your table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your abundant and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord whose character is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world.
Have mercy upon us.
Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world.
Have mercy upon us.
Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world.
Grant us your peace.
The gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. All baptized Christians are welcome to come to the altar rail and receive communion. If you are not baptized or for any other reason wish not to receive, you may still come forward. Simply cross your arms over your chest and we will pray for you instead. Remember, there is intercessory prayer at the back after you receive if you'd like to go get prayed for. We'll go from the back of the church moving forward. You may begin. This service is the one being streamed, and so on behalf of those streaming with us, I will pray a prayer for spiritual communion. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are truly present in the Holy Sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desire to possess you within my soul. And since I cannot now receive you sacramentally, I beseech you to come spiritually into my heart. I unite myself to you, together with all your faithful people, gathered around every altar of your church, and I embrace you with all the affections of my soul. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen. Our post-communion prayer is on page 137 in the Red Book of Common Prayer. Page 137. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit, be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Now, if you would please turn to page 551. We'll pray a special Ash Wednesday prayer together. The bottom of page 551. O Lord our God, grant us grace to desire you with our whole heart, that desiring you, we may seek you, and that seeking you, we may find you, and that finding you, we may love you, and that loving you, we may hate those sins from which you have delivered us, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please stand for the blessing. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you always. Amen. We will silently process out and dismiss from the back. Let us go forth in the name of Christ. Thanks be to God.